the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among thy servants, of a handmaid from among thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willst, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah the Almighty. Salamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith and humanity. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today, we're going to speak about courage and bravery in Islam. I invite all of you to be with us. Today, Sunday, is the 15th of Rabiul Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 30th of the month of Aban, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 21st of November, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment of today's special by recitation of chapter Yusuf, verse 33.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قال رب السجن أحب إلي مما يدعونني إليه وإلا تصرف عني كيدهن أصب إليهن وأكن من الجاهلين.
He said, My Lord, prison is more to my liking than that to which they invite me. And if you do not avert me from their plan, I might incline toward them and thus be of the ignorant.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Men of Allah prefer all the difficulties that come with a life of honor to a sinful life of luxury. By seeking assistance from the Almighty, man can distance himself from any kind of sin and temptation under any kind of circumstance. Hardship and suffering cannot provide man with a justification to commit sin. Man's character depends on his soul and not on his body. If man's soul is free and he is in prison, it can be like a paradise for him. And if his soul is under pressure, even a palace may become a prison for him. To please people at the expense of displeasing Allah is manifest ignorance.
Heart, soul, and body, every single day of my life, with every breath, I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh, Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So please, you is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so.
We are talking about courage and bravery in Islam. Allah's Messenger said in a hadith, a strong believer is better and is more lovable to Allah than a weak believer. The meaning of strength here is the greatness of the self and being alert in the matters pertaining to the akhirah. Akhirah means the here, after, the afterlife. And the ones who have this quality race towards the enemies of Islam during the battle and are quick to leave, march from their homes for it, for martyrdom, and are firm and strong in joining good and forbidding evil, and they bear with patience and endure all the troubles encountered in this path.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with how to be brave in Islam. I mean, and in this connection, we are going to to consider various aspects of braveness or bravery according to Islamic teachings. Elsewhere, it's indicated in the Holy Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبَّ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ صَفًّا كَأَنَّهُمْ بُنْيَانٌ مَرْصُوصٌ. Certainly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes those people who join jihad in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the divine cause, like a very firm row of combatants. At the same time, we find that according to some Arabic glossaries and lexicons, we find that braveness, shuja'ah, braveness, is like being strong in terms of attitude, in terms of making the right decisions or taking risks and so on. Now we find that in the case of braveness, this is a very praiseworthy merit and characteristic, because based on this kind of braveness, it's indicated that the people are able to achieve the aims and the high goals, because braveness doesn't mean that the person who is brave is always aggressive. No, there's no aggression in this regard. Sometimes taking the right decision in the right context or in the right time is a sign of braveness. I mean, because braveness has got its own various connotations according to the context.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
This is today's a special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about social courage from different kinds of courage. Social courage is the courage to expose yourself to social situations where you may be vulnerable to embarrassment, ridicule, or discomfort. People who have social anxiety might need this type of courage. They need to muster this courage whenever they enter a social situation. Others may need social courage when in a leadership situation. They have to ask people in their teams to have faith in them and follow their lead. This can be intimidating if you're new to a leadership role or feel like your leadership may be questioned by team members.
واشتد على العزيمة جوانه قف على خدمتك جواره.
One tip to liberate yourself from fear is speaking up. Always let someone know what your plans are for the day. If you plan to go somewhere after school or after work, it is important that you let someone know beforehand. This is not a limitation on your freedom, but a protection for all of us, both males and females. In discussing your plans, the other person may point out something you forgot, reminding you there is a game this afternoon, so the subway might be crowded with people who have been drinking. Besides planning, it's good to share your thoughts and fears with others who understand your point of view. Arrange a group to study or just invite a few Muslims to your place for a discussion. It's good to talk with others. They need you to listen to. Don't keep things bottled up inside.
Imam Ali alayhi salam says, لو تميزت الأشياء, if every trait and everything was to be segregated and put in its place, لقان الصدق مع الشجاعة, you would find the truth is always with courage. وكان الجبن مع الكذب, and you will find that cowardice is always with falsehood. So whenever we make a decision that we know is wrong, but we do not have the courage to say or do or stand up for the right thing, we should also know that we have stood with falsehood. When I look at the Muslim nations today and I see the shambles in which we are as an ummah, I blame the ulama to some degree. I think it is rightful to do so. And I've looked at this very, you know, deeply to say that why do we sometimes feel we have been let down by our spiritual leaders, by our scholars? You know, why is it that we constantly blame ourselves, our community, our youth, our this, our that, but we don't see any, you know, when a corporation is failing, we change the CEO, we don't change the people working in the warehouse, right? We look at the people at the top. And we, don't get me wrong, we have some very special scholars and leaders who are our driving force, and without them we wouldn't have any needle in our compass, we wouldn't have any means of direction. But there are issues as well that we have to acknowledge. And when I drill this down, I bring it down to three qualities that plague our scholars. And I'm going to say this very candidly: hypocrisy, arrogance, and cowardice. No matter how I slice it and dice it, whenever I see a flaw in any scholar, I cannot see anything besides these three things. It might not be all three, it might be one of them, but it always resonates with one of these three things. There is either a lack of sincerity, ikhlas, or there is no humility, tawadu. I am the alim and you are the I am the shepherd, you are the sheep, right? That attitude. Or there is no shuja'ah, there is no courage, there's no willingness to stand up and say the truth or do the right thing when we are called upon.
Dear brothers and sisters, what you had listened to was today's special from IRIB English Radio. That's all for today's episode. Inshallah, we'll meet you in another day, same time, same channel. Thank you very much for joining us. Till another episode, fi amanillah.
Some might say this world today is short. God's left us to our mistakes, oh, but He's never been so far away. Some might say, how could any father stand? See his children across many lands, suffer so, give no help in hand, no help in hand. Somewhere tonight, far away and out of sight, there's a child that's too weak to cry. Deep in those eyes, can't you see him in disguise, reaching out to the heart that's in you? And I, in every tear that is wet, he is there.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is a thought-stimulating saying from the Holy Prophet's 11th infallible heir, Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him. The heart of an ignorant person is his mouth, and the mouth of a wise person is in his heart. Thank you.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. There's a very beautiful tradition that we would like to share with our dear listeners today from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam regarding how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the children of Adam or the Bani Adam, but again, all people. But obviously here, there's a specific type of people. Those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who believe and have conviction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves to be worshipped. And who needs to be worshipped. Not because of him, but because of us. We need to worship him because we are in need of that worship. He does not need of anything. It's a very lengthy tradition, so inshallah we will go straight to it. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that your Lord addresses you, that is us, human beings. And he, Azza wa Jal, says, O son of Adam, devote yourself exclusively to my worship. Again, understanding what we meant by worship, and that worship for that person who sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the eye of the heart, and with that esoteric sight. It's a very deep meaning. So, O son of Adam, devote yourself exclusively to my worship, and I will fill your heart with wealth and your hands with ready sustenance. O son of Adam, do not distance yourself from me, or I will fill your heart with poverty and your hands with work to preoccupy you. Now, the first part, there's a lot that can be said about, you know, if a person devotes himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's a deep meaning there, but we don't want to get into it. The second one for example, we can see clear examples of it. There are certain people who are very wealthy. And by looking at it, you can see, where's poverty? Allah doesn't say that Allah will give you poverty. Allah says that He will fill your heart with poverty. Meaning what? That your remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be taken away from that person. A true person or a true poor person is that person who does not have any connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, heart here does not mean the physical heart pumps blood across the body for oxygen. And we've explained this before. But it's that essence of a human being. Now imagine an essence that is away from the source of that essence. An essence that is away from that thing that is giving you whatever you need. Yes, it appears that you have been giving blessings, but it's not. So that heart will be full of poverty. And then the second word, that even though you may want to come back, you will be so preoccupied with other things that even then you will not be able to fix this poverty of your heart. That not only will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but for those who distance themselves, not, you know, will be distanced from Allah, they will not be given the tools and instruments and the chance to fix it. Why? Because they are not deserving of it. Allah probably will give them chances, but they will not take it also because of the distance that they have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا. نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to you, all the dear listeners of this program. I'm glad to be with you.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. First, we're going to talk about a famous Quran reciter. Then we are going to listen to a recitation of that famous reciter. And after it, Brother Muhammad will analyze and talk about that recitation. Besides these parts, we're going to have some other interesting Quranic segments which will be presented to you. So please stay tuned. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Muhammad Imran, an Egyptian reciter who was born in Suhaj Governorate in 1944. He lost his eyesight when he was 1 year old. Despite this, he managed to memorize the Noble Quran completely at the age of 10 under the care of Sheikh Abdurrahim al-Misri. He learned Tajweed under the care of Sheikh Muhammad Khabbaz. In 1955, he moved to Cairo and got familiar with many Quran reciters and munshids, including Sheikh Muhammad Musa. Dear audience, I'm sure that you know that Munshid is someone who recites religious songs and nasheeds, and Mubtahil is someone who recites supplications. As a religious Munshid, he followed the style of Sheikh Ali Mahmud, and he had such a unique voice that after entering radio, he became one of the outstanding Munshids and Mubtahils of Egypt. He had one of the most complete voices according to the experts. He passed away in 1994 at the age of 50. May Allah bless him. Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of verses 8 and 9 of Surah Al-Fatir, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Imran. Let's enjoy it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
Brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. And what you just listened to was recitation of verses 8 and 9 of Surah Al-Fatir, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Imran. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Yes, indeed, this was a wonderful recitation by Sheikh Muhammad Imran. He was just such a good reciter and mubtahil. He had a very good voice and a very wide vocal range. His voice was, you know, it started the weight of his voice was very heavy on the lower register. And nevertheless, he had a very agile voice in the higher notes, in the higher notes of his voice. And he could use different kinds of vocal techniques, such as vibratos and other, other vocal techniques that are used in recitation of the Quran. And it's, you know, it's just so beautiful.
Yes.
It's indescribable. Those who are familiar and those who are not familiar with recitation of the Quran, they both enjoy this recitation. Yes. فَمَنْ زُيِّنَ, we have إِخْفَاء بن نُسَك. And by the way, Sheikh Muhammad Imran only uses the riwayah of Hafs an Asim in his recitations. And he always lengthens Matul Munfasil to either four or five vowel counts. He never does Qasr of Matul Munfasil. At least I haven't heard him do Qasr. أَفَمَنْ زُيِّنَ, we have إِخْفَاء بن نُسَكَنَ, where the Nun Sakana is followed by the letter Za. And Za is one of the letters of Ikhfa. And what you're supposed to do is that you have to approximate the place of articulation of Za. And at the same time, you have to make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. We make the articulator, the tongue, get close to the place of articulation of Za without touching it. And at the same time, we make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. Su'u amali. We have su'u, which is matul muttasil. You could lengthen it to four or five vowel counts. Usually, Sheikh Muhammad Imran lengthens it to four or even five vowel counts. But I think most of the time he lengthens it to five vowel counts, because in recitation of the Quran, whenever you lengthen a med, you could, it's possible for you to use different vocal techniques. Mm-hmm. It makes it easier. It's a good place
to use techniques.
To use vocal techniques, yes. For example, su'u amalih, you could do vibrato. You could do a vibrato. Su'u amalih, like this. We have the vibration of the sound. Okay. فَرَآهُ حَسَنًا. We have فَرَآهُ. The ra has a fatha. It has to be pronounced with tafkhim because of the fatha.
And the letters before and after it should be pronounced with tarqiq or thinness.
Yes, that's right. The fa should be pronounced with tarqiq, and also the alif ul-mad, just like you said, which is after the ra, has to be pronounced with tarqiq.
And I think it makes it a bit difficult.
فَرَآهُ.
فَرَآهُ.
Yes. And we said that you could use the shape of the lips in order to make it easier.
Manage, actually.
Yes. When you pronounce a letter of tarqiq with a fatha, the mouth opens horizontally. Ba. The lips spread. Whenever you pronounce a letter with a fatha with tafkhim, the mouth opens vertically. فَرَآهُ.
And then
again,
still the lips spread.
Yeah, for the alif ul-mad again.
فَرَآهُ.
Yes. Okay, let's go on to the next verse and see what rules of tajweed we have in this verse. وَاللَّهُ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ. Here we have مَتُّ الْمُنْفَصِل. And you could lengthen matul munfasil, which is also known as ja'izul munfasil, the optional disjunct lengthening, to two, four, or five vowel counts. And just like we've said before many times, you have to be consistent with respect to matul munfasil and also matul muttasil, especially these two mats, because you have different options for them. For example, for matul lazim, you only have one option.
Okay? That is six vowel counts.
Yes. For matul tabi'i, you only have one option, which is two vowel counts. Okay. سَحَابًا فَسُقْنَاهُ.
Again,
well, actually, before that, let's talk about the tarqiq of the ra. The tafkhim and the tarqiq of the ra. أَرْسَلَ. We have a ra with a sukun preceded by a letter with a fatha. So, the ra should be pronounced with tafkhim because it's preceded by a fatha. It's sakin preceded by a fatha. The second ra in the word الرياح has to be pronounced with thinness, with tarqiq, mm-hmm. because
it has a kasra.
It has a kasra. And so you have to pronounce it with tarqiq. فَتُثِيرُ. Again, the ra of this word has to be pronounced with tafkhim because it has a dhamma. سَحَابًا فَسُقْنَاهُ. We have ikhfa of nun sakina in this phrase. We have a tanween of fath followed صحابا. By a fa, the letter fa, which is a letter of ikhfa. So you have to apply ikhfa of nun sakina. In order to do that, you have to approximate the place of articulation of fa.
We ignore nun sakina actually.
Yes. The first thing that you have to do is you have to disregard the nun sakina, the place of articulation of nun. And the second stage is approximating the place of articulation of the letter of ikhfa. And the third stage is the ghunna for two vowel counts. And of course, these three stages take place at the same time.
Yeah, simultaneously.
So we could say that it's you have to do all of them at the same time, simultaneously.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق هو القرآن.
The Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Allahumma inni ataqarrabu ilayka bidhikrak wa astashfi'u bika ila nafsak wa as'aluka bijudika an tudniyani min qalbik.
قربك وأن توزعني شكرك وأن تلهمني ذكرك اللهم إني أسألك سؤال خاضع متذلل خاشع أن تسامحني وترحمني وتجعلني بقسمك راضيا قانعا.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, in the next part of this divine supplication, says, اللهم إني أسألك سؤال خاضع متذلل خاشع. O Allah, verily, I ask you with the asking of a submissive, abased and lowly man, أن تسامحني وترحمني وتجعلني بقسمك راضيا قانعا وفي جميع الأحوال متواضعا. I ask you with the asking of this kind of servant to show me forbearance, to have mercy on me, and to make me satisfied and content with your apportionment and humble in every state. In this part, we have four requests made from the Almighty by Imam Ali alayhi salam in this part of the Divine Supplication. Before we move on, let me just clarify once again that if a supplication is done in the darkness of night, with humble heart, with submissive appearance and tearful eyes, it is undoubtedly more probable to be accepted. The Almighty revealed to Prophet Moses alayhi salam, Ibn Imran, Habli min qalbika al-khushu' wa min badanika al-khudu' وَمِنْ عَيْنَيْكَ الدُّمُوعَ فِي ظُلَمِ اللَّيْلِ وَدُعُنِي فَإِنَّكَ تَجِدُنِي قَرِيبًا مُجِيبًا. O son of Imran, bring to my presence submission of your heart, humbleness of your body, tears of your eyes in the darkness of night, and then call me. You would then find me near and compliant. In this section of Kumail supplication, the supplicant humbly asks Almighty Allah for requests, and he should hope that his humbleness and his submission would bring his supplication to compliance. These four requests are Allah's forbearance towards him, and to samihani, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, his mercy for him, wa tarhamani, satisfaction with Almighty Allah's apportionment, وَتَجْعَلَنِي بِقِسْمِكَ رَاضِيًا قَانِعًا, and at last, humbleness in all states of his life. وَفِي جَمِيعِ الْأَحْوَالِ مُتَوَالِعًا. The supplicant should bear in mind that based on the principle of one of the verses of the Holy Quran, إِنْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ, if you do good, you will do good for your own souls. Anyone who does good has done it to himself for one simple reason.
Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation, and I pray to you to intercede on my behalf, and I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask you begging submissively, humbly and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances. Oh Allah, I beg as one whose neediness is extreme and who supplicates his knees to you and whose desire for that which is with you has become great. Oh Allah, great is your kingdom
and exalted is your greatness. Your plan is secret, your authority is manifest, your might is victorious and subduing, and your power is prevalent throughout, and it is not possible to escape from your dominion. O Allah, apart from you, I do not find anyone able to pardon my sins, nor to conceal my shameful acts, nor do I have anyone except you to change my evil deeds into virtues.
Gaining Almighty Allah's forbearance is not possible but through lenity to His servants, and gaining His mercy is only possible through compassion to all the Muslim believers and anyone who deserves it. One who is not lenient and merciful to others would not be subject to Almighty Allah's forbearance and mercy. Let us refer to one general fact regarding a supplication that we have talked about in previous versions of the program. If we want the Almighty Allah to have mercy on us, we must be merciful to the others. If we want Almighty Allah to forgive our sins, we must also try to have a sense of forgiveness in this world towards the others. So is the same with all our requests from the Almighty Allah. We have to try to be like Him through seeing His examples, through seeing the infallibles and the Holy Prophet ﷺ, how they behaved towards the others, how they behaved towards the people of their community and society. It is only then that we can be truly hopeful that the Almighty Allah will grant us our requests. And this is the true meaning of humbleness and submission, which bring our supplications to compliance of the Almighty Allah, inshallah. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones, the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می‌کند ذکر خداست، ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illallah. Allahu ya Allah wallahu akbar.
The authorities under divine test.
Imam Khomeini says, "Everybody now has a very grave duty to perform. I, a seminarian, have this duty. The gentlemen belonging to the clergy have this duty. And the same is also true for all the other people. We must strive to show the dignified face of Islam as it really is. We are now in the midst of a big examination, of a big test. God is testing us to see what we are going to do at this juncture when we have acquired something." Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, he has PhD on Islamic science.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Imam Khomeini, in one of his sayings, has said that the Iranian nation revived Islam through its life and blood. Well, we can see in the history that there were many revolutions which happened and later they were failed. There were many Muslims in different parts of the history or the time where they strive for the Islam. But obviously, when Iranian nation, being the Muslims, when they strive for the Islam, when they rose up for the Islam, they gave their lives and the blood. We can see that the Islamic revolution of Iran has seen 8-year war with the Saddam Hussein. We can see many sanctions from the Taghut or from the rebels or so-called superpowers on this Islamic revolution. These sanctions are not on the country of Iran. It is rather on the Islamic revolution. We can see today people talking about the change of the regime within the Islamic revolution or country of Islam. Why is this all happening? This all is happening for the Islam. But on the other hand, we can see that because this nation rose for Islam, this Islam has given them the victory over its enemies.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi.
Sallallahu alayhi.
Islam has given them the courage. Islam has given them the proud. Islam has made them powerful in front of their enemies. And this life and blood which the Iranian nation has given for the sake of Islam, it is a blessed life and blood. And the martyrs, the number of martyrs that we can see this nation has given,